You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
So I'm supposed to start talking now, is what he said. Is
well, yes,
you
sir.
Got the word, Joe.
But you have to see that you actually waited a while after the disclaimer was on for like 3 or 4 seconds. You had a little tiny bit of elevator music in there.
We have to adjust.
Rhythm challenged.
We have to compensate for the rotation of.
I was watching.
Oh, that's what
for the rotation of the Earth.
Of the Earth.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect no sense to me.
It is the ecliptical angle. He's got to look at all of this.
Listen, is it different in the summer or winter?
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, because you know the sun moves, the Earth just you know when it tilts, you know that sun
yeah,
looks.
Well, if the axis tilts, you got to worry about that, and you look the elliptical cycle, you got to worry about that.
That's yeah, true, but see, we have equipment here that compensates for some.
He was off 2 seconds.
That's
he
exactly
that.
Right.
Welcome to Astronomy Basics with Joe Martech.
One. Okay, class, this is important now. Write this number down. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. That phone number means you can call us from any place toll free. And we have sitting here today.
And please do.
Pastor Dave.
Whoa, Pastor Dave, he's sitting here.
And I can tell you, he's gotten dangerous in the last year because we've taught him quite a bit.
You have.
He knows just enough to be dangerous.
Just enough to be
dangerous. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Yeah.
Right. And we also have Vince Rizzino, CPA, also forensic CPA, which I love that word. You do too.
Yeah, it's a great word.
That's a great word. You know, most of us had never heard that word until we introduced you on this show, but I had because I have.
No, probably from CSI.
That's right.
You watch those shows. You know, forensics is big.
All that forensics mm-hmm. basically means is that he's recognized as an expert witness in the court system where he can literally testify for or against somebody, and he has the credentials.
It's also another level of expertise, Joe.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, hey, I mean, I'm 19 years old, and I'm a forensic.
You are.
Yeah, I'm bubblegum.
You're forensic bubblegum.
Yeah, son-in-law of mine who died, of course, he's ex-son-in-law now, he was a forensic engineer.
Oh.
And inside of the firm, they had like 8 or 9 engineers, but they had mechanical, aeronautical, all kinds of different flavors. And, you know, his claim to fame was how many cases did he lose? Not how many he won. Like if you lost 80% of your cases, you're unemployed. Well, nobody's right. going to hire you.
Oh.
But he would go out, and especially the big boats that get on fire that are worth $5 million.
Yeah.
And he'd have to come back and say to the insurance company, pay or don't pay, if he's hired by the insurance company.
Right.
But very often the client would hire him because they knew that the insurance company was going to be looking for problems, and they wanted him on their side. And he would go tell the client, he said, hey, you look like you got trouble. Because if it was a friendly fire, insurance companies are not too excited about paying for that.
Right.
So, and when you're a forensic accountant, they're looking for fraud or intent to defraud.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, I was looking up the definition here, Joe. It says, relating to the use of science or technology in the investigation and establishment of facts
or evidence yeah.
in a court of law.
There you go.
And so it's really forensic is investigating, getting to facts, yeah. facts yeah. finding. And that's also another thing it relates to or it's used in a court of law for public discussion or argumentation.
See, and then we also have a non-member here who is a regular guest, which is a retired prosecuting attorney and a messy Jew. Oh, excuse me. I pronounced that wrong again, didn't I?
messianic.
I know. I know. I like messy better.
It fits me perfectly.
I know. I know. Those of you that listen to us regularly understand that I sometimes mispronounce things on purpose just because I got to keep Alan awake because he's
falling asleep.
He's a retired attorney, you know, and once I insult him a little bit, it really wakes him right up. So Alan was a prosecuting attorney up north, and now he's a messianic Jew, which simply means he's a Jew for Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
And he's becoming a semi-regular on the shows, and he contributes. You ever notice how attorneys sometimes can talk too much?
Nah.
I didn't think so.
Well, as my grandson would say, no.
No. Well, Alan doesn't, so this is a good thing. Anyway, we also have members that are not here today.
Yes.
Because the two of us are here, which we're pretty regular. Vince and I normally do these shows, but we also have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who was on the morning show, WPSL, today. What happens with Victoria, she gets sidetracked constantly by clients and customers, which is a good thing. Otherwise, she normally would be here. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, he's becoming less and less coming down here. You know, that's quite a drive from Port St. Lucie. I think it would take 10 minutes or 15.
I don't know, Joe.
I mean, corner of Port St. Maybe it takes 20 minutes this time of day. Port St. Lucie Boulevard and US 1. Where
it takes a long time.
It's the early rush hour.
It would be probably
45. Yeah, so maybe that's why he's, you know, and there's no easy routes around that way to get here. But Dan is, in my not too humble opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And the reason I say that, he's 38 years in business, roughly 100 different companies under his umbrella. And what he's been able to do for many of our listeners, and including our group, is save people an awful lot of money and get them coverage, sometimes better coverage than they had, just because he has a ton of companies.
And he's helped save people in other ways, Joe.
Yeah, and Dan happens to be a very committed Christian and a good guy.
Uh-huh.
Which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who I think right now is in Italy.
Is he?
Yeah.
I wonder why I haven't been able to contact him.
His wife had an excuse. I think she's turning 40, but and luckily she can't listen to this because I'm sure she wouldn't want me to say that.
Unless they're listening to live streaming on the internet.
Yeah, they could be listening as they're walking down the street.
In which case, he apologizes.
When he gets back, say, Martek, if I were you, I'd hide for a while. So he's a boater like I am, but he's not going to the Bahamas this year. Instead, she said, hey, for my 40th birthday, please.
So whereabouts in Italy is
he? I don't know. We'll find out when he gets back.
Okay.
You know, because I'm sure we'll hear about it. Because how many times you've been to Italy?
Three.
You've been to Italy ever? No?
Well, it was one boat ride, but we had three landings. So three, too.
Yeah.
Well, I've had some. Yeah.
I didn't add those. You know, I've said my girl Barbara's an Italian, and she got there's a village when her family comes from up in the mountains not far from Rome, and they've got streets named after her family. Mm-hmm. As her cousin says, if you guys ever go there, don't go there at the beginning of the trip. Go there at the end of the trip. Otherwise, you'll never get to leave because the relatives all come out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden, you're there. And it's fun, but you don't get to see anything except that village. So, her one cousin owns a pretty uppity restaurant, and he goes every year shopping for wine. Can you imagine doing such a thing?
Nah.
No, I didn't think so.
But, you know, interesting, Joe, that I think her family comes from the same town
basic region.
My grandfather.
No kidding.
That little region. I'm not exactly the same town.
Yeah.
But it's
Pesco,
that region.
Pesco Costanza.
Yeah.
Pesco Costanza. And I may not be pronouncing it exactly right, but
that's Abruzzo up there.
Yeah, I actually had to look it up and spell it correctly and put it on the internet, and I've got it written down at home because now that I remember it, because I wrote it down. If I had never written it down, I'd never remember it. You know how that works?
Yes.
But anyway, mountain people. Yeah. Yep. Little tiny town. Anyway. So that's where Mike is. Victoria's here. Dan is here. Greg Fasula, attorney, usually comes down once a month. Mm-hmm. But see, Greg is very regimented. He puts it on the calendar.
I put it on the calendar, too.
Yeah, but you don't even look at the calendar. You just...
I know. But I know Wednesday's...
But I know Wednesday's the day, right? But Greg, actually, when he puts it on the calendar, he actually shows. Because, you know, Dan, when we come up to Fort Pierce, Dan usually shows. But whenever he says he's going to, that's no guarantee he's going to on that one. It might be another week. But so Bottom line is we just do the shows. Now, the concept of the group, we started doing these back in around 2004, and concept was very simple, was to educate people by putting together local professionals with much experience, but mostly high integrity, people that you could trust. And you got to admit, Vince, we've been very, very fortunate with the group and what we've been able to do to help people, because yes, we got over 200 years of combined experience. And if we counted our Messianic Jew as part of the group, that's closer to 400. He's still sleeping on us, I think.
I know. I'm
just trying to figure your math, and I can't.
I thought you might just be ignoring me, which is the same thing.
No.
Anyway, so we're here to answer questions. And let me start a little bit. I have a lady that listened to WCNO who is turning 65 very soon, and she called up and says, can you explain Medicare to me? And I said, sure. I said, have her come in the office, and we'll sit, and I'll show her what it is. You know, everything is simple when you know it. So what I'm going to do now, what I'm going to tell you right now, folks, don't take this to the bank. I'm going to give you generalities. I'm not going to give you 100% specifics. But Medicare is basically divided into two parts, Part A, Part B. Part A is the hospital. So Medicare says when you qualify for Medicare at age 65 and you go in the hospital, if you have Medicare, it's going to pay the whole hospital bill except for a deductible of roughly $700 or $800. And I don't know exactly what it is because I don't remember, but it's under $1,000 deductible. Then if you get Medicare Part B, which normally is going to cost you $100 and some odd a month, and if you're not on Social Security, you have to pay that, and you better pay it religiously, because if you miss a payment, they're going to knock you out for a good while to get it back on. But now for $110 a month, Medicare will pay 80% of the doctor bill for all doctors that are approved to do business with Medicare. Now, oftentimes people, and Vince, you know this, they get a bill from a doctor that says $8 million, and Medicare pays them $11.50. Now, I'm exaggerating by quite a bit, because Medicare determines the exact amount of money the doctors are going to get based on a certain code and how it's given to Medicare. But they're only going to pay 80% of the bill. So when you turn 65, you've got some options. Number one, you can go with Medicare A and B, and you can buy a supplement. A supplement would now pay, under normal circumstances, the difference that Medicare doesn't pay. Now here comes where people get worried. Back in the early 90s, and it may be 90, 91, the government, in its all-known wisdom, and this, by the way, I agree with, decided there should be 5 or 6 or 7 Medicare plans only. Only. And every single insurance company had to offer the exact same plans. They had to have the exact same coverage. They could charge a different premium. But if you had what's called the F as in Frank, plan, that would pay the hospital deductible. It would also pay all of the difference that the doctors were not paid by Medicare. So you would not pay one dime out of your pocket for anything to do with the hospital or the doctors. Now, I'm not talking the TV in your room. I'm not talking about getting flowers delivered. And I'm not talking about concierge service people running down to McDonald's. But I'm talking anything that is billed through the hospital is going to be paid for by Medicare, A and B. Okay, now, normally when I talk to a client of mine, I said there's two plans that really cover pretty much everything, and it's the C and the F. Those two are pretty much everything. Where the C plan says we will pay the 20%. Well, we won't pay anything over that. Some doctors, now I'm not saying they do this anymore, used to be able to charge on top of the 20% a little extra. And that's where the F, like in Frank plan, came in, so it would pay that extra. Now, I think Medicare has pretty much stopped allowing doctors to charge over and above the 100% level, meaning 80% Medicare, 20% doctors. So the F plan might cost you $2 or $3 or $5 a month more, but it's basically, under all circumstances, 100% coverage. So that is how Medicare works. Am I explaining that?
Except for there are copays, and there are, well, depending on the plan. That
not
you
under
have.
F.
Oh, I don't know about F.
No.
In general, you
have to watch
that.
F's 100% plan.
But it's got to cost you, Joe. It comes out some one way.
$200 a month normally when you turn 65. You got to pay to XYZ insurance company.
That's why you're getting it for zero.
Plus, you're paying another $105 or $110 out of your Social Security check, or separate. So you're going to have this $305
a month, yep.
Give or take.
Yep.
Now, you come up and you say, whoa, I don't want to pay that $200. What can I do? They have what you called earlier Medicare Advantage plans. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, you hear all kinds of words, but the two basic categories are what's called an HMO, Health Maintenance Organization, or a PPO, Preferred Provider Organizations. These are both very, very similar. Very similar. But they come up and they say, basically, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take care of you. We are going to take care of you. And you sign away, basically, your rights to Medicare. And Medicare is going to pay that health maintenance organization or that PPO once a month, once a year, however they pay them, a chunk of money. Now, it could be $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, whatever they negotiate with Medicare, they pay. Now, that health maintenance organization or that preferred provider organization guarantees to take care of you on a health basis. However, in that, there are going to be co-pays. There might be
deductibles.
And deductibles. $10 for this, $25 for that. Mm-hmm. Most of it is not onerous unless you get something absolutely disastrous, and then you might run up $4,000 or $5,000 worth of deductibles, but most of them are pretty much capped at about that figure. But under normal circumstances,
I think that's $6,700 these days, Joe.
That's Obamacare. Mm-mm. Medicare? Mm-hmm. You're sure?
I'm positive.
HMO, okay. Because I know they're in that dollar range, they've got these magic numbers. Now, and I'm not positive if every HMO or PPO has got the same caps.
They may not. The HMOs are different than the PPOs.
Yep.
Because the coverages are different.
Yeah.
The coverages on an HMO are limited to a region or an area.
Yeah.
And you must have the doctors in that area.
Right.
That participate.
Right.
Where the PPO is your wider opportunity, a wider range of, like, you could go down to Miami and go to the Cleveland Clinic. You can go to different places under the PPO. You may not be able to do it under the
HMO. What you need to do when you're starting to do research, number one, when you talk to whoever it might be, and there's a lot of companies that do this, you want to find out if your doctor is a part of one of these plans. That's the first
critical
thing. Yep, and if your doctor's not and you really like your doctor and you don't want to go, then you go to another one of these organizations until you find one that has your doctor. And then it wouldn't hurt to talk to your doctor about that plan and say, hey, you're not going to drop this plan next week or next month or next year, are you? Because I'm going to sign up with them, and I want to make sure you stay my doctor. So it doesn't normally cost you anything except that $110 a month out of your Social Security check or that you have to pay separate. The only reason I kept saying or, a lot of people don't take their full retirement benefit till age 66 something.
I mean, if you're a boomer at 66, likely.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Plus.
Like right now, it's if somebody turns 65 now, they know they can get Medicare, but they can't get full Social Security for another year.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have 1 year that you're going to have to pay that $110 a month.
Yourself. $134 now, Joe.
$134, mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's billed quarterly if you're not on Social Security.
If you're not on Social Security.
Yeah.
So then the next part of the equation is some of these HMOs and PPOs offer extra little benefits like eyeglasses, like hearing aids.
Yep. You could go to
drug plans.
Gym membership.
Yeah.
They have what they call those silver sneakers and things
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a lot of side benefits. A
lot of little side benefits to try to entice you to come into it. And there's all good benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is this. The Medicare A and B and a supplement is very simple. The HMOs and PPOs get a bit complicated because they offer different.
I would suggest you talk to an agent or somebody very knowledgeable because they are a little complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
You can understand the basics, but when you get into the nitty gritty, you really need to know your stuff.
And I would normally say, hey, you know, talk to two or three different companies. Like some of the big ones are Blue Cross or Humana, or there's two or three really good size ones.
United Healthcare is big.
Mm-hmm. Now that United, I don't know, does United offer an HMO or PPO or just a supplement?
I think they offer both. They offer both.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But all I'm trying to say is you need to do a little bit of personal homework to understand what you're doing, because once you get committed into that, as Vince was saying earlier, it can be a problem making a change down the road. When you first turn 65, the government says, I don't care if you've got most terrible diseases in the world, you're entitled to get Medicare and a supplement, period. But after a period of time, if you want to switch to another one, they can underwrite.
Yep.
So you've got to be a bit concerned about that.
Yep.
Yep. So these are all the fine little details that I'm going to be talking to this lady who's coming to the office next week, who might be listening today, who might want to call in, but she may not want to because she's coming to see me anyway.
And also, I think on the HML plans, Joe, if I'm not mistaken, you have to have a gate. There is a gatekeeper, so you need a referral to go to specialists and things like that.
Sure.
So you got to go back to your primary. We're on the PPOs, that's not the case. So there's, you go wherever you want.
Little fine too. But I'm saying, and where I was leading to, that if I was going to turn 65 and I didn't know this, and I would talk into an HMO or a PPO, find out if your doctor's on it. And if your doctor is, go talk to your doctor and say, what do you think of this plan?
Now, and word to the wise, for those that are on Medicare,
yeah,
and you're looking for a doctor, don't just say to the person who answers the phone, do you take Humana? Because you might get the answer, yes, we do, and only find out that your particular plan,
your plan is not
use the word Medicare.
So you've got,
and be careful with that.
Yeah, and then when you're talking to this agent back again, and they're going to give you information. Now, let me tell you, they do a very thorough job, and the government makes them do a very thorough job before they will take you. They're going to have these different names for different plans, and that's what Vince was leading to, is that you should make sure that your doctor accepts that particular plan
right,
that they're doing. And again, find out for sure if your doctor's not going to dump them next week, next month, whatever it is, because that's just what you don't need. So there's some wrinkles here, and education eliminates a lot of the wrinkles.
There was a point when I signed up for Medicare, I was 65, and the person I was working with said, if you take the supplement now, your insurability is guaranteed, but if you wait to do the supplement when you're 66, then they can refuse to insure you.
That's exactly what Vince was saying, because they can then underwrite. You have the opportunity when you first get Medicare to have no underwriting. There's a rule. But once you're over the hump, you've got like 1 month, or I forget whatever the time frame is to sign up for that. Hey, rules change.
And the other thing is, supplements, Joe, are not regulated in terms of the premiums either.
No.
They can raise premiums where not that easy to raise it on the other side.
No.
Because it's government controlled.
Well, you know, absolutely.
The premiums can change from company to company, period.
Right. And I'd like to talk a little bit about a wrinkle in the system when it comes to doctors, because I'm in a situation where a year and a half ago, my doctor opted out of Medicare of Part B, and I am paying him directly, and that is becoming more common with doctors who...
Well, be careful now with that. You're paying him directly. Explain in detail what you're talking about.
What I mean by that is that I pay my doctor $150 a month, per month. What I get for that is 24/7 access to him. In other words, I have his private cell phone number.
It's called a concierge.
Right. Exactly.
It's a concierge service. But everything else, I am covered by Medicare. I'm covered by Part A. I'm covered by Part D, prescription drugs.
All that.
The only thing that I am doing is I have my doctor basically servicing me on a 24/7 basis. And what that entails is my doctor will do things like, if I'm not well enough to come to his office, he'll drive to my home and examine me there. I'm allowed to come into his office once a month for a full physical if I want, no extra charge. And more doctors are doing this. And the reason my doctor did it basically is he was working with a clinic in Port St. Lucie, and he had an actual patient on name only of over 5,000 patients. Well, no doctor can handle 5,000 patients,
right.
But 5,000 patients were on his list, attributed to him as patients. So what he did is he said, he started a concierge practice, limiting his patient load to 300. And what that will do is, instead of him retiring from the practice, he will go on for many years and service the patients. And more doctors are thinking of doing this. And I know a few who've done it already in the last year.
What happens is now, because he still technically has all the Medicare benefits, he goes in for emergency surgery or something. This doctor is not necessarily going to perform it, but another doctor will, and it's covered under your plan.
Right. When I had a procedure in February, he consulted with the emergency room at St. Lucie Medical three times, but he didn't see me that day. He didn't do anything, except he was on the phone with me five times and with the hospital three times.
And with the hospital, right. So what happens is the concierge service costs a little more, but you get preferred treatment, let's just say.
Right.
And
right.
What the doctor has done, saying rather than $5,000, he's got $300 that he can handle, and he's charging $300 times $150. Hey, he now can afford to provide, let's say, more personalized care.
Well, it's a good model, Joe, because what he's saying is, if you want to pay me a little more, I'll give you more service.
Of course.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Nothing new in life.
If you want to be part of the general population, so yeah. to speak, then...
That's what Vince says to me. He says, Joe, if you just paid me a decent rate, I'd get you a better break
exactly.
on your taxes.
And I'll actually give you access, not 24 hours, though.
Well, another example for when I was recovering... I had an issue where I called his office at 9 a.m. and I said, I have to see the doctor quickly. Can you get me in? And the nurse said, can you be here by 10?
Yep.
And, you know, I mean,
you normally can't do that with a regular,
because like
you know, they're booked on. But there comes the concierge, sir.
Yes.
Right. So the whole concept of it is he still gets Medicare, but what he does, he's opting to pay a little more to get more personalized care.
Right, exactly.
And I understand. If you can afford that, hallelujah.
Yeah,
that's good. A smart
yeah.
thing. In the meantime, you know, because he used to put people in jail up in Wisconsin, Wisconsin says, hey, we're going to pay for your Medicare supplements and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, he can afford it now. Is that fair?
That's fair. No, really, what you're saying, Joe, is that was the trade-off that I was able to make in the 1970s. And in the 1970s, when you worked for government, you got less salary, but you got better benefits.
There you go. Right,
now,
right.
You get more salary, but you basically have to take care of yourself.
1-888-221-8990. So I thought, you know, kind of a... Let's beat this one around a little bit because
yeah, that's good. It's
not
good.
Everybody's old at sitting here.
Medicare,
wait a minute, everybody
security.
Is old at sitting here. Never mind that part.
It's
okay.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, you know who
it's
looks
a number?
Boy, it's a big number though.
Hey, a friend of mine who listens to the show. If I can change to Vince for a moment or two, Vince, a question for you.
Okay.
This young person, she's 11 years old,
wow.
and she likes the stock market, so she's getting involved in and she heard one of the shows that we did, and she was impressed with you. Her name is Melody, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes, and Melody wanted, and she has a question for you, and the question is this. You're very busy with taxes between January and April.
Yes.
But what do you do the rest of the year?
Well, that's a fair question.
Goofs off quite a bit,
yeah,
I hate to tell you.
I chase after people like Joe and collect money and things like that. No, actually what we do is I have year-round clients. We do payroll tax returns. We do sales tax returns. We do special project work. We do mini audits. I do forensic accounting, litigation support. Which we talked about before,
yep.
where I work for attorneys on a case-by-case basis.
So it isn't
so
just filing a tax
filing
return.
Taxes, and that's the difference between CPAs and state tax.
Let me take this caller because this thing will keep buzzing until...
Go.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
I hope that helped.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Sound like you guys are having a great time.
Always, always do. Thank you.
If we can't make each other laugh, who can?
And we're
that's
all
it.
Sober, too.
I was driving down 95 cracking up and thinking, we're talking about Social Security a bit. I was waiting for the number to come back up so I could call in. I was like, I really need an answer to this.
There you go.
But
good.
Anyway, listen, I'm also a pastor of a small church in Green Acres. I am on a trust, an irrevocable trust. I'm actually the trustee of it and have been for probably now 13 years.
Wow. Wow.
In this, I've never received compensation, really, for being the trustee of this irrevocable trust. this year, the guy who set up this irrevocable trust has started giving me an allowance for taking care of the trust. My question is, how do you come up with a percentage, or is there a percentage that you figure as to what the trust is allowed to give you for maintaining the irrevocable trust, or are you not allowed at all?
Well, that's a very good question, because I think that that's statutory. I mean, I know, for example, if normally I think it's 3% in Florida.
Max.
There is a max rate of 3%. It probably goes down depending on the size.
Down
it's
to
a
one.
Sliding scale, depending on how big the trust is. But the answer is definitely you're entitled to a fee, but I think you're in that range, anywhere from 0 to 3.
What happens is this. If the trust is worth $10 million, 1% might be the norm. So that's $100,000 a year, let's just say. But if you get a really big trust, there's an awful lot of work to manage all the assets.
Well, it is. It is a lot of work. And the trust is a little over $500,000.
Okay.
And so, and I, like I said, they started giving me an allowance this year, you know, insisting that I take it. But I think I was trying to figure out what is allowable, because they never said what was allowable, but what they're allowing me to have, I think, is too much.
The interesting,
and I don't want to end up in trouble.
Well, I hate to tell you this. If you are the trustee for a irrevocable trust, you're in charge. You can forget the other people. They have, even though they're the ones that established it, and you have the connection with them, you are it.
Right. I know. I'm it. And I don't want to be the it in trouble.
Well, you know, caller, look at the trust document itself. That usually gives you some guidance as to what the allowable payouts are. It won't tell you the percentage, but at least it'll provide for you to get a fee. That's the main. That's like the first threshold. Are you entitled?
It may say a normal or usual and customary.
Right. In that case, I think statutorily it's 3% max. So and that's on the low end. I mean, that's if it's a real low.
Because value you don't have a big trust. Again, the more the money, the bigger the trust, the more the work, the more dollars and cents would go into the hands of, because you have a big responsibility there to do to do this thing according to the rules of the trust. You know,
because when they asked me to do this, like I said, 14 years ago, I had a friend who lives in Ocala who's gone to be with the Lord now, said the first thing I should do before I even, you know, consider signing on the dotted line, ask for a fiduciary audit to make sure everything is in order prior to me getting my hands on it.
Absolutely.
It's not a bad idea.
So I did that. We did a fiduciary audit, and after 10 years of being it, we did another one just so I can, make sure people see that everything is still on the up and up.
Good.
Well, the other thing, caller, you got to be careful, caller, on the other side, because your liability exposure is really with the beneficiaries of that trust.
Sure, the beneficiaries get upset.
And they're the ones that might be complaining that your fees are too high or you did something wrong with the investments. It caused you to lose money. The main thing and point I'm trying to make here is that you should also make sure that trust agreement accounts for some defense, legal defense, in the event that you do get sued.
It doesn't hurt, even though you can read it, I'm sure, and you've read it, to counsel an attorney that specializes in irrevocable trust and have them give you their opinion. And it might cost you a couple of $300 or $500, but normally the trust would pay for that also. It just, hey, you have a responsibility, a fiduciary, and you have potential liability. So the answer, yes.
It's a responsibility when you take on these trusteeships.
Big time.
That's why, I mean, I'm a trustee on someone's trust.
Yeah.
I had to think about it long and hard before I agreed to be the trustee.
I've seen many people turn down that responsibility for any fee because they just don't want
the liability.
Joe, I can't say this.
I left my name and number with when I called in.
Okay.
Maybe after the show, if one of you guys are available, could call me back and maybe give me the name of an attorney that maybe you know that deals with this, that maybe I can call and set up an appointment to talk to. And
where are you located?
I'm in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
West Palm
Beach. Yeah, Greg Fasula, part of our team, he specializes in wills and trusts, and he would be the first person to talk to. And what Greg would do is advise you and counsel you over the phone. He wouldn't even charge you. And once you give him details, he may recommend somebody down there, or he may do it himself. Now, Alan Love, who is a retired attorney, who was a prosecuting attorney, is sitting here right now. Alan, give him your some two
minutes. Well, what I was going to say is I can't say this enough, that people stay out of trouble if they spend a little money, talk to a professional like Greg Fasula,
right.
And that counseling will keep you out of much more trouble and much more costly heck if things go wrong. And sometimes they do go wrong.
Yes, they do. Well, here's what we'll do. You left your name and number. What we'll do is after the show, you're driving your car now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't want you to write it down now and hear a crash. That would solve your trustee problems real quick. So
thanks.
You're welcome. Anyway, I'll call you after the show's over with Greg Fasula's phone number, and then you can talk to him tomorrow, and he can advise you on. Hey, but you're doing the right thing. I hate to say this, and Vince and I unfortunately run into these circumstances regularly with wills and trusts. And if we don't do the T's and I's, somebody may do it to you down the road. So, yeah.
Right. And like I said, I've had it for 14 years. And like I said, the compensation has been really, really minimal. Maybe once a year or something like that, but nothing to speak of, but now they're the family that set up the irrevocable trust is like, well, you really should be,
compensated.
Getting X number of dollars for this because of all the work you're doing.
And they're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And yeah.
And honestly, in all these years, I've never thought about it.
Well, now you are. Now's the right time to do it. And bottom line is, here comes to Greg Fasula, our attorney in the group, and he will advise you, and you'll get a call from him. You'll get a call from me with his phone number, then you can reach out for him, and we'll go from there.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call, caller. By the way, before we move on, Joe, I did want to thank Melody for that question. Hope she's listening.
And
thank her for that. Anybody else who's got similar questions, send them on up.
Well, think about this, which, I understand where a kid would come from, and even a regular person would say, hey, if you're working a job and all you do is a tax return once a year, you need you once a year.
Right.
But if you have a business, any kind of business, and you have a payroll, you have tax returns, sales tax returns, state returns, mm-hmm. that have to be done quarterly.
Plus, don't forget those that go on extension, Joe. Though they're not everybody files by April 15th.
Who would do such a thing?
You're kidding.
You're kidding, right? Anyway, so what happens is Vince may not be as busy as he is from January to April, but you, I guess when October 1st rolls around, you start to burn a little midnight oil because people wait until the last minute when they're doing the extension to hit you again.
Between, I'd say, May and September, we lead a normal life, Joe. It's like a 40-hour week. I'm on vacation.
Scary. Yeah. I know. Listen, that's against the rules. You should be working 80 hours a week all the time. I thought.
I used to.
1-888-221-8990. I'm glad that caller mentioned the fact that I need to mention the phone number because he's driving down the road.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need someone to remind us about the public service.
We used to have this attorney that sat at the end of the table PNAs. Here that would pay attention to that phone number, but he's slipping today. Either that or I'm explaining it often enough. One or the other.
He had a rough night last night, and he didn't get much sleep.
He looks a little rough, but of course he always does now that I think about it. 1-888. We would never pick on anybody on this show. Just everybody.
Just everybody.
Not anybody, but everybody.
Equal opportunity pickers.
Equal opportunity picking. I had a client of mine and said, I've had some criticism from people on this show. I said, Joe, this is supposed to be Christian radio. You sound a little irreverent from time to time. Then I had a client of mine that says, I'm kind of concerned about this. I'm kind of hoping Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, of course he has a sense of humor. He has to put up with you. Right. So, but our way of doing these radio shows is not to bore you, even though we might. We don't mean to. We feel that we can depart, we can impart information and teach and help and do what it is, but to have a good time doing it, we're a blessed group. We've been able to help a lot of people and do a lot of things that we never dreamed of. In fact, I had this lady today that called and talked to my girl that set an appointment, and another one that we helped because her son died, and you know, we've been helping her get this thing straightened out, and she says, "How much do I owe you? How much do I owe you?" And I says, "Call her back and say, Joe wants $10 million or nothing." Let me take this call. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I have a question about financial advisors and brokers.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the difference? And what is the difference between the two of them? And fee-wise, what are the normal fees for each?
Here.
And IRAs. My husband and I have an IRA that we've established years ago, but it's not growing.
Well,
I guess the financial advisor, that's because we haven't touched it or anything for years, so we're sort of lost at it, but it hasn't grown. So what should we do at this point?
Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to answer all three questions here. You can stay on but in the meantime, I've got your phone number, and I'm going to call you back probably tomorrow off the air, and we'll talk more in detail. But let me give you generalities, okay, first. Let's talk about the words financial advisor, okay? Anybody can be a financial advisor, and I'm talking you are a financial advisor if you want to be, because there's no organization that says you have to have a license, you have to have anything to be called a financial advisor. Now, what does happen, though, most people that are, quote, financial advisors have a business card. When that business card says at the bottom of the card or on that card, securities offered through a broker-dealer. That could be Merrill Lynch, my broker-dealer, Centaurus Financial. And it also would say member of SIPC, which is the insurance corporation that protects you from a broker doing fraud, and FINRA, which is a regulatory agency. That means they are now securities licensed. Securities means stocks, bonds, mutual funds, things that are considered securities. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if that person does not have that on their card, they may not be licensed for securities. They may be licensed only to do insurance products. So you have to do a little bit of due diligence ahead of time. Let me give you another thing that becomes a, it's like a bit of a thorn in my side. If I want to run an ad in the newspaper to entice you to talk to me, I have to give that ad to my compliance people. My compliance people have to approve every word of it, and I have to put on the bottom of that the name of my broker-dealer, the SIPC, the FINRA. And if you listen to this radio show at the very beginning, there was a disclaimer that says don't listen to anything I tell you, and at the end of it, it'll be another disclaimer saying I hope you didn't listen to anything. I'm kidding, but I have to say that in order to maintain my licenses, because I've got multiple licenses. As far as I know, I am licensed to do everything. My broker dealer says you can't say that you can do everything, because what happens is a broker dealer may not necessarily do everything. Even though I may be licensed, I may not be able to do it because it has to go through my broker-dealer. So, first question is, what's the difference between a financial advisor, a broker, a fiduciary? Because a broker now can charge commissions and or fees. Some people charge a commission only. Some people charge a fee only. Which is better? Beats me. The key thing that you're looking for is, are they working for you and doing a job, and are you being protected, and are you making money? If you're if you're paying a fee and you're not making any money, you're going to be a little upset. So you have to look, and it doesn't make one person better or worse than another. It's just ways of doing business. As an example, one particular firm or company or broker might say, fine, I'm going to charge you 1-2% a year, but I won't charge you any commission. But I'm going to charge you that 1 or 2 every year no matter what. And you say, well, what if you don't make me any money? Well, I'm going to charge you that 1 or 2 no matter what. You can always fire me and go to somebody else. Well, most people don't like the idea of firing somebody. They want somebody that will work with them and earn their money. Other people say, here's what I do. I don't charge a fee. I'm going to charge you a commission when you buy something. I won't charge you a commission when I sell something. And then what will happen is my job is to make you money and make you give me more money, and maybe I can get another commission. So the whole concept, both sides of the coin are they earning their money? Are they doing a job for you? So now the last thing is, when it comes to that IRA, what it's invested in is a critical part right now of where a guy like me or any financial advisor, stockbroker, fiduciary will look at it and say, hey, you're in the wrong thing, you're in the right thing. Let me just give you a quick example. And this is one of my favorite ones. Have you heard of bonds?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about a savings bond from a bank. I'm talking corporate bonds. Corporate bonds, big companies, they issue these bond issues and they pay an interest rate. Okay? Now, a lot of people are invested in these bonds. Now, here comes forest and the trees. Have you ever heard, and now this is a good one, interest rates go up, bonds go down. Have you ever heard that?
I think so.
Okay.
Not sure.
Does it make any sense to you? You better say no, because I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay.
Here's what happens. Let's say you and I buy one bond from General Motors, I don't care what company it is, and it's paying 5%. And you put up $500 and I put up $500 because that bond cost $1,000. Now we're partners, right? We're going to collect our 5% a year. And a year comes by and you say, Joe, I don't like you anymore. I don't want you as a partner. I want Pastor Dave over here as a partner. So you get out of here and have Pastor Dave buy you out for that $500 and he can be my partner and collect half of that 5% that we're collecting. So I go to Dave and I say, hey, Dave, this lady doesn't like me anymore. She wants you to be her partner, but I need $500 to get rid of me. And Dave says, hey, Joe, what's it paying? And Joe says 5%. And Dave says, wait a minute, I just checked and new bonds are paying 6%. He say, why would I take a 5 if I can get a 6? So interest rates went up. The value of our bond, the one you and I have, went down.
Went down.
You then would have to discount, and let's say it's good for 10 more years. You would have to discount to Dave 1% a year of that $500 in order to get him a 6% yield, in order to get him as a partner and get rid of me. See what I'm saying? So the concept is, if you're invested in bonds, and where are interest rates today? They're very, very low. But if you're paying any attention at all, they're starting to go up. When they're going up, that means if you're invested in bonds, you're going to start going backwards, and you probably already have. So very often, brokers, quote, financial advisors, quote, put people into certain instruments and they don't pay attention and let them know the story I just gave you so that you can get out of something and move into something else. Making sense?
Something else. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So here's here's the end of the story. I've got your name and phone number. I'll give you a call tomorrow. We'll talk more about this. And if I can help you achieve your goal, we both won.
Okay. Great.
Alrighty.
Sounds good.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And besides that, I put everybody else here to sleep. Vince was nodding off on me.
No, you didn't. But the caller said something that distresses me a little bit. She said her IRA isn't growing.
Yeah.
And considering especially the stock market, what it's done in the last few months even,
done very well.
that is not a good situation. And an analogy that I'm thinking of, a few minutes ago I talked about my concierge doctor.
Right.
Well, your financial person that you deal with,
he's basically
really should be your concierge.
Should, yeah.
You're paying that person to pay attention to your portfolio and help you to make money in that portfolio or to protect money when the markets aren't conducive to going up.
It's an interesting thing.
It's true.
I have a person that I was talking to last week that is in their late 60s. So you know how you think differently when you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70? Anyway, your thinking starts to change. Well, the older you get, usually the more conservative you get because you don't have time to make up losses. When you're 30, you say, hey, I got $10,000. I'm never going to retire on 10, so what can I do more aggressive? Let's take another call.
Take the call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. This is Norma. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago
my
house.
Yes, you did. Norma, how you doing?
I'm doing. I'm not able to get in touch with
Mike Polis.
Yeah.
You know what? He's in Italy. But I'm going to make a note. I'm going to make a note today and give it to my lady in my office. And she is a bulldog. She will haunt him until he will give you that. What happens is Norma has a mortgage, and her mortgage company won't give her a amortization schedule, which I've never heard of, and Mike had never heard of. Mike says, I'll do an amortization schedule, but I hate to tell you, Norma, real work got in the way, and then his wife's 40th birthday got in the way, and he's took her to Italy.
You have to please her, you know?
That's the way it goes.
Hey, listen, at least you know the rules. So here's what happened. When he gets back, I will put a guilt trip on him like he's never had before, and he will call up and not only apologize, he will get that amortization schedule to you, because I will give it to my bulldog in my office, and we will help you.
Yeah, I need help because I really don't want to get in back to. I was in foreclosure before, so I don't want to get back there. And that's why I called him.
He's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you about a reverse mortgage, and I'm telling you, you need to look at that hard. I think it's the smartest thing in the world for somebody like you. I've seen it do wonderful things for people, and you just need to get educated.
Do you think it really works?
I know it is. I've watched it work so well for people. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a financial predicament, if you don't have to make a mortgage payment, and you can actually put some money in your pocket to help you get over and above this that you don't have to pay back, what's the negative? Well, one day you die and your kids don't inherit as much. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I'm sure when your parents die, you inherited a couple hundred thousand, right?
Oh,
not in money, but in land.
Well, all I'm trying to say is most of us got nothing from our parents. If you got anything, you know. But anyway, yeah. I've got your name and number. I will make it a massive point to make sure Mike, believe you me, my girl, just remember her name is Bulldog, and she will she will haunt him when he gets back from Italy, okay?
Okay, and he's the only person you know right now, right?
Yep, he's the right person. And
well, I really need to deal with a Christian person and a person who will tell me the truth, the A's and the B's.
Let me give you
so
this.
Let me what I'm doing.
Let me tell you 100%, 100%, 100%. This man is going to tell you the absolute truth. Under no circumstances will he lie or take advantage of you, period.
Yeah, that's why I want to really talk to him because...
Yep.
I really think I'm going to think about that because I don't want to get messed up again.
I understand exactly. Listen, you make sure you call every week and talk to Bulldog until we get this thing taken care of. I'm Bulldog's secretary, by the way. So. Okay, Norma.
God bless you, whatever you do. I couldn't wait to get on, but you know what happened? I get my number mislaid and I couldn't find it, so I was waiting to get the number.
You're supposed to have it written down next to your phone. Don't you follow instructions?
I know. But I take it everywhere I go. I take it. I said, well, if I'm on the road, I can hear it in my car. So I have it in my car, and I couldn't find it, and that's what happened.
I don't want you searching too hard in the car because we don't want to hear a crash. All right, Norma, you have a wonderful day.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, you. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, we're running out of time here, but what were we talking about? We got so...
Ooh,
Alan, you remember what we were talking about?
What were you talking about?
Nobody, look, all these old guys sitting around, nobody remembers anything.
No, we had just finished the subject that you were talking about.
Which is what?
Well,
he's on the spot now.
Frankly,
we did talk a bit about Melody and how you work other than that. But
that's about all I remember.
Well, let me give you one more thing when I was talking about this IRA, and this is regularly happening. How about an insured investment that says no matter what, they're going to guarantee you a 5% income for the rest of your life that can never go down, but it can go up? Now, when you're not so young, this becomes important.
Yeah.
When you're very, very young, you say, hey, wait a minute. I got a client today that called me from Maryland and says, Joe, what do you have that's paying 10%?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, there's REITs, REIT, that are paying 10% right now because real estate's pretty hot. But here's what happens. If real estate turns south, you could lose money. So you have to look at your risk and what you're willing to get into. Now, everything I try to do is liquid, meaning I can be in today and out tomorrow. But guess what? The crystal ball doesn't always tell you which is the right day. So you need to pay attention and you need to learn. I was visiting a client of mine today, and she's not too young and she's not too old and she's pretty smart. But I got to tell you, some people glaze over when you talk money, and they say, "Hey, I've got to trust you." And I say, "Well, thank God you can."
Right.
You know, here's the thing. I'm trying to do the right thing for people. No one client's ever going to retire me by any stretch. So what we want to do is make sure we're both on the same page. What's your risk tolerance, right? Alan, one of the big words in our business. Absolutely. So if I'm talking to somebody, like I got a young lady in her 20s. Hey, Joe, I want to buy some marijuana stock, high risk. Well, medical marijuana is becoming a hot subject. Is it going to win and make people money? Who knows? No. But she's willing to risk some money.
It's one of those penny stocks that
you go
to the casino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, throw the dice on the crap table, you might hit.
It's high risk. Yeah. But on the other hand, look at, if you and I had bought Microsoft when it first come out, $1,000 worth, we'd be worth $2 million now or whatever the number is. It's just, there are rewards. But normally when you get into those 50, 60, 70s years of age, we don't want to start rolling the dice. Going to the casino, normally want
to. Don't have time to recover.
Don't have time.
Right, exactly. Unless you have a whole lot of money that you know.
Well, you know, I had what I call an old guy, because he's older than me, come in to see me. He was 80 years old, and he says, "I had $1.4 million last year. My broker lost me $400,000." And I said, "Boy, that's exciting." I said, "Well, what do you say?" And he says, "Well, give me a chance, and I'll get it back for you." And he says, "I'm 80. How much time do you think I have?" You know, and there comes the problem. You know, when you're 30, 40. 50, maybe 60, you start to say, "I've got some time." But boy, I'll tell you what.
When you're 80?
When you got 80, if you're past double overtime already, let alone your shelf life is long gone.
I don't even have a shelf anymore.
The average lifespan, was it 78 for males now? 79.
Bottom line is, he's way past his shelf life. So the key is this. We start to look at each individual person and say, what's the goal? What do you want to accomplish? How can we get there? And I've had many people say, "Okay, fine, Joe, I love this 5 or 6%, but you got anything else I can put a little money into that might make more?" Yeah, but you have to understand that you're taking more risk, so you just have to double check.
Risk and reward.
Risk reward. 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time, no more time, but you can call the radio station anytime. Talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Karen. 1-888-221-8990. They'll take your name and number and have us give you a call back, which we're going to call some people back tomorrow already.
Absolutely.
And then Norma, I'm going to sick bulldog on Mike when he gets back from Italy, and you will be taken care of, my lady. That's for sure. Any parting words of wisdom, Vince?
No, I just want to wish them all well out there. Yeah. And bless them all.
Yeah. Alan,
thank you for listening.
Have a great week, everybody. See you next week.
That's it. Are we done?
We have 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Wait a minute. Wait, no, we don't. We have like 10 and a half now.
Well, it took time to discuss that.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate it. And I appreciate the prayers that everybody's saying for my son, who is recovering, not quite where we want him to be, but thank you for praying, and please don't stop praying.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
every heart your cross redeemed, for every triumph over sin, for every time you gave us strength, for every time your love broke in, for every time you spared us and delivered us from death, for every